So here we are, my first budget drive. And my first budget drive sermon. This is a little bit of a rite of passage for new ministers, this first budget drive sermon. And I have a lot of theoretical knowledge about how it should go. I know I should use inspiring words and music, tell a personal story, highlight the ways in which this congregation is generous, remind all of you how special and amazing this community is, and how important the work you're all doing is, and foster an attitude of gratitude and celebration. And so we have heard our congregation's welcome, which we say every Sunday to start off our worship time with our declaration of hospitality. We've heard our amazing choir. We've lit our chalice with words focusing on abundance. We've sung about what a joy it is to be together and about the many blessings of creating sacred space together and working out of that space. And we've heard a little bit about one of the main reasons we come together here. The religious community is essential, for alone our vision is too narrow to see all that must be seen, and our strength too limited to do all that must be done. Together our vision widens and our strength is renewed. These words speak to the power of sharing vision and strength and of doing that sharing in the frame of acknowledging our connectedness as a holy thing. These are things we're really good at here at James Reeb. We hold each other through the times we need strength and support. We welcome the stranger and acknowledge them as neighbor. And we focus on our relationships. And we nurture all of these things in this space here that we make sacred together. And there's more, right? We're not focused just on making ourselves better together. We reach out in love and in action to try to make the world a better place for everyone. Where else but in covenantal relationship built and practiced in sacred space can we unveil those bonds that bind each to all? In what other places in our lives do we get to practice opening ourselves to each other, trusting that we'll be held when we stumble or err? In what places in our lives do we get to practice forgiveness and compassion when we've done something harmful? In what other places in our lives do we get to explore what it means to base our actions directly out of our beliefs and values? And what concrete things do we get from being part of this sacred and beloved community? We get to bring our kids to a place where they'll be accepted for who they are, taught values and ethics that will serve them for their whole lives, as well as us and our whole lives. We get to be filled on Sunday mornings so that we're ready to meet the challenges of our week. And we get the satisfaction of doing something worthwhile when we take part in actions that serve our community. We get to be cared for, and we get to feel how good it is to care for others. And yes, we get to have our vision widened and our strength renewed. I love the imagery that Heike and Mary have created around this idea of strength in our congregation, based on our understanding that we fit together in ways that make the whole machine of who we are together stronger. I want to tell you about the very beginning stage of the search process that brought you and me together. And I told this to a smaller group last week, because it gets to what I see as the root of how that fit happens. That fit happens and makes us strong. So to do this, I need to introduce you to Keith Cron in our imaginations. Keith works in the UUA Transitions Office. He's the staff person who manages the search process for the entire denomination. It's his job to know about every congregation in search, whether he gets to visit them in person or just reads their congregational record and asks questions of other staff people who have more experience with them. So as I was beginning to look at these congregational records, this is the information that congregations in search put together about themselves. It's your autobiography. As I was just starting to look at these, I had a bias. I was biased geographically toward the Northeast because this was home. I was hoping the Northeast was home, and I was hoping to move back that way. I wasn't really considering congregations in other parts of the country. So I called Keith to ask his advice on congregations I should consider, because everybody who knows anything about the search process says you need to talk to Keith. He's that good. He asked me to tell him about my ministry, and I told him it was relational. I told him it was based on my theological understanding of that energy that rises within us and between us, and that it flows most fully when we're working together towards being our best selves. We're doing sacred work, I told him, when we allow ourselves to open to each other and walk together as we figure out what it means to be human and connected. And it's my job as the minister to hold the space open to do that work. Keith said, you need to read the congregational record for the James Reeb UU congregation in Madison. What Keith knew from reading your record and whatever interactions his office had with you, and what I quickly learned when I first met the search committee and then the rest of you, was this understanding of the depth of heart that exists here. It was that quality, along with everything else about you, but really rising above everything else, that made me know that I wanted to serve this congregation. And it's that depth of heart that is in this place that makes you so strong. You see, depth of heart isn't just a description of you and you and you and you and you as a bunch of individuals. Well, I mean, it is that, right? Of course. But it's also, it's so much more. It describes this congregation as a whole, as an institution. It's the source of your generosity of spirit, that generosity that manifests in your welcome of new and sometimes marginalized people into our midst to worship and to grow together. It's the source of your generosity of time and talent, which manifests in the work of keeping our building and our programs running and safe, and the work of reaching out into the community to serve where we can. And it's the source of your generosity of your financial resources, which is just as important as your time and talent in making that work happen. Your depth of heart is the thing that fits so well with this idea of feeding the whole of us with what looks like just a little bit, with those 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. But we each bring so much to the table that there is actually way more than enough. This is what makes us a congregation of great strength. So I want to invite you to think about that for a moment. And I want to invite you in about a minute, in the course of about a minute, to turn to a neighbor and to tell a story, share a story of something that has happened in the life of this congregation that you've witnessed that highlights that strength. Something you've witnessed that makes us strong. And if you're new here, yeah, I didn't think of that, did I? I see a lot of new faces here. All right, we're going to do this a little differently, because there are a lot of new faces here, and I don't want them just sitting not knowing what to do. So what I'm going to do is give Mary the microphone. And if any of you are willing to share a brief story, we're just going to take a couple of minutes for this. Looks like Mark's willing to share a brief story. Mary will bring you the mic and give you a few moments to talk.
Thank you, and good morning. So this is a story about 5 recycled dollar bills. A couple weeks ago, this is small, but it's kind of got a neat resolution. I lent $5 to a congregational member that I think there was something about lunch or some sort of donation. $5 out of my pocket, gone, forgotten about it. Came back this morning. Also, a couple days ago, I needed to borrow $5 from another congregational member before going to an event, and out of her pocket, gone. So those $5 that came back to me went back to the other member here in the congregation. I offered them back, and she's like, "No, thanks. Put it in the collection plate." So five small dollar bills. And it's just kind of neat how it came out, went back, went out from someone else, came back, and went back to Reba.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I think about the time when we had the meeting to decide on whether or not we were going to proceed with the renovation of this building. We had the architect here. And we had gone through a lengthy process to decide kind of what we wanted to do, that we wanted to do it, and all these other things. And so the architect comes in with the plans. And you talk to people from other congregations that have gone through this, they'll tell you that a building project it's like pulling teeth. I mean, it some congregations completely fall apart over this, and people leave and never come back, and so on. But so he walks up there, shows his plans, and everybody says, "Yeah, that's great. Let's do it." It was just a done deal. And I've been through unsuccessful efforts before at other congregations, and seeing this happen, just okay. Yeah, let's do it. That's really good deal. Thanks. Bye. It was amazing.
Thank you, Art.
So last week I was in a rush, as I always am, and I went to 4 and 20. And on my way after service, there was this woman who had this like crappy old truck, and she'd left her keys in the truck. And she's like, "Hey, can you help me? I can't get. If you have just any key, my truck is so crappy that any key will open it." So I was like, okay, here's like my house key. Oh, we have a Prius, so we don't have a key thing. I don't know. So I tried to help her, didn't work. And I said, "But you know what you need to do? I swear to you, if you go to this building next door, it's called James Reeb, you walk in there, you're going to have like 20 people who are going to help you. They will help you. They're nice." And so I went into 4 and 20, forgot about it. When I came out of 4 and 20, there was Larry and, like, I can't remember, I think maybe Richard, like, all these people helping this woman, like, busily, hot, getting into her car, they just immediately unlocked the door and showed their mad skills as car thieves, and it was beautiful.
Beautiful. Thank you. Anyone over on the side? So let me remind you that this microphone that you're using is really sensitive, and you don't want to hold it right up to your mouth.
You. Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, like many, many years of my life, I've dreamed of being in a place where people could come together regularly for peace, for justice, and for sustainability. And I tried to make that happen in so many different places in my life. And it never took off. And then I came here, and I found my people. And I said, "Hey, let's try to do a regular gathering for peace, justice, and sustainability." And they were like, "Sure, go for it. Let's do it." And we do it every month, and it's so beautiful. It's the fourth Saturday of every month.
My name is Bev, and I'm going to add to that a little bit. Our last night, we had a Sustainable Saturday night. And I agreed to engage some speakers for the event from the Moses Jail Task Force to come and speak. And a few days beforehand, realized that I was getting like super overwhelmed. And realized that, oh, who's going to open up? Who's going to set up the chairs and tables? What's going to, how's this? Am I supposed to do all of this? I didn't know what I had actually volunteered for, And I gave Tim a call, and he just reassured me there's going to be plenty of people there, and, you know, we're going to set up. And I just felt held last night by members of this congregation, the people that showed up and helped clean up and set up and welcome people, you know. I felt held.
Thank you all. Much better than any preaching I could do. And so, thank you. Mm-hmm. Where I'm going to this, of course, is a build-up, right? So what does it mean? What does it mean to us to be part of this congregation of such strength? And what are we willing to bring to the table? So let's talk plainly for a minute, right? We receive so much from being part of this community, and we give in so many ways. So let's talk for a couple of minutes about those ways we give. We give our time and our talent and our treasure. These are the three T's you've been hearing about from our stewardship team and from Reverend Marlene for a while now. And we each have different amounts of these things to offer. So for some, our days and our weeks are so full of work or school or family or illness or stress. Our days are so full that to give an hour is a stretch. For others, attending meetings or teaching RE or cleaning up the kitchen are perfect matches. They have time. Some of us can paint or fix or fold or sort or greet or make coffee. For others, it takes everything we have simply to show up. And for some, there's enough money coming in that they can make and fulfill a very large pledge. And for others, a couple of dollars a week might even be more than they can consistently give. We value all of these ways of giving, and I would go far enough to say that I've seen much generosity in all of them in my long 6 months as your minister. I've already witnessed your generosity of spirit in your welcome of me and my family and your weekly welcome of all who enter here. I've witnessed your generosity of time and talent in committee meetings and choir rehearsals and taking on of tasks new and routine, and in the work of engaging with justice work. And now, it's time to talk about your generosity of your financial resources. So there are some things about budgets that we know, right, that I'm going to highlight. One is that they increase a little every year, because we want to give our staff members raises, because we want to get a little more ambitious with our programming, because of general inflation, things cost more. Another, and just as important thing about budgets, is that just a little bit, another thing about budgets is that we learn just a little bit more every year about how to get our budget to match our actual spending for that year. This is a process. We're only 20 years old. We're still working on this. So with these things in mind, I'm going to tell you that this year's draft budget, which was created by the executive team and members of the Finance Committee and Stewardship Team all together, includes a 12% increase in anticipated pledges. Take a breath. This is for both of the reasons I just talked about. An increase in anticipated costs in salaries and programs and inflation, and the team that worked really hard to create it tried to bring what we've learned about our actual spending into the budget creation, so we're not budgeting too low and figuring out what to do later in the year. In other words, the draft budget increases are in part reflective of what we've actually spent over the last few years. So, I'd like to invite you to challenge yourself for this budget drive. And I am not going to say I want each and every one of you to increase your pledge by 12%. I know that's not possible. I do not in any way want you to assume that that you individually need to increase your pledge by 12%. What I mean is to ask you to consider your pledge carefully. And as you consider, remember that you can expect to be asked for less money outside the budget over the course of the year, because we've been looking at what we've been actually spending over the years, and part of the budget increase reflects that. So I've challenged, here's the personal story, I have challenged myself and my husband to take a look at what would be comfortable for us to pledge, and to consider what it would look like to pledge maybe just a little more than that. We're a two-income family again for the first time in 5 years. And to be perfectly honest, we have been allowing ourselves to enjoy just a little bit this newfound sense of being able to say yes to things that we've had to skip for a while, little things and larger things. At the same time, we're recognizing our responsibility to give back out of our good fortune. So we're supporting some organizations we believe to be doing important work, like the Church of the Larger Fellowship, which is the UU virtual church that I'm a member of. And there's a new margin in our budget that would allow us to comfortably commit to a modest pledge to this congregation. So what I'm planning to do, sorry, Paul. So what I'm planning to do is to pledge a little more than that level of comfort. Maybe just a little, just enough to make me mindful of my giving throughout the year. Just enough to make me feel it and go, oh yeah, this is important. This is really important. Last year, you took flight. You aimed upward. And you got there. You are a congregation of great strength. This year we celebrate that success and others, and may we continue to feed each other out of our pockets and out of the bread in our baskets and build our strength. May it be so.